All right, podcast audio is recording. Let's make sure this is on the right setting.
Some movies to talk about.
More or less.
Yeah. Now we are streaming, chaps.
Streaming.
Yeah, dun dun. Streaming.
Oh yeah, we're back. I'm Roy Batty.
You're Roy Batty. You are Roy Batty.
Batty McFatty or whatever.
You're Batty McFatty.
Yeah.
Wait, let's
we
see.
Bring
this.
The mic closer.
Yeah. Dude, you're good old Batty McFatty. He's listed very, very often on one of the best villain lists ever. You know, Batty
he's
McFatty.
He's barely a villain.
He's villainous.
He's villainous.
He may
he's
not be
a villain like.
Okay. A villain would do something like Roy Batty would do out of context. It would
oh,
be
crap.
Like
stop.
Say,
hey. Why are you playing that song?
It's like it's like hey,
I'm sorry.
Just do something cool. Just like do something impossible like. Looks to the other guy. Question.
No,
that's all he says. Like, okay, he's not good. No one says that.
I mean, by the end, you're just kind of like, okay,
well,
I get it. He's not really bad.
By
he's
the
just,
end, you're like,
he's
dude,
just really desperate.
He's just baddie.
He's just baddie.
he's baddie, that's it.
All right. So, Sam Slade, you were telling me that I was going to tell you that you were going to tell me
was
to
I?
Remind me to tell you that
no,
I had a
no,
story.
I was talking to Kevin. I was like, hey, Kevin, make sure you remind me to remind Alec that he needs to tell a story.
You know what? That was what it was. And funny enough, Alec reminded me to remind you to tell him. To tell him to tell a story. So, because Alec didn't want me to forget to tell you to tell him to tell a story.
Wait, but then I forgot to tell you to tell Sam Slade
luckily,
to tell me to tell you.
Luckily, I set an alarm. It reminded me.
Okay. Oh, okay, cool.
Kevin, just remind me. I need to tell you to tell a story on the podcast.
Oh my god, I forgot I had a story.
Yeah.
Alright.
That's why
you
didn't remind me.
Kevin, I actually think I told you this one already, so the spoilers. I already spoiled it.
Sorry, I saw Sultan Priest.
Yeah,
I'm like, dun 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 dun. I got excited.
Well, actually, I might change my story, because I think I have a better story that relates to that. So, Logan and I just got Chipotle, like, an hour ago.
Is this the story?
This isn't the story, but this is now the story.
But okay.
It
wasn't before, but now it is, because I think it's better than my original story.
It's like the Indian
Logan and I, we're driving to Chipotle, and what I did for a good 20 minutes today was I decided that we are now using copyrighted music on the podcast until we start actually making money, which we have not yet. So,
No money!
Woohoo! Yeah!
We're free.
We're free of Eli's music. Not that we don't love your music, Eli. You're great.
He's in there. Like he's done. He's in there. He goes, wait, when's the next Halo night? He stops. He's like, wait.
It's in a few months.
So I wanted to listen to it, and you guys can like add some input to this because you know when you guys do your thing, you can play it.
Is it dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. So one of the ones I put on there was the Assault on Precinct 13. And so while we were going to Chipotle, I just played it, and that song was like the one of the ones that came up.
Such a good song.
And I was like, okay, Logan, try to not get this stuck in your head. And it was like bum ba da da dum, and I was singing along. I was like bum ba da da dum, and Logan like he looks at me and he's like. And puts his ears on all earphones all on
you
all,
shouldn't
all
let
angsty.
Him.
And I was like, Logan,
rip
or,
him out
I,
pull the, but don't pull him out, pull him down.
Yeah, that's the
they tear it through.
That is literally one of my like least favorite feelings ever. Is
just
your earbuds getting yanked out, like either like they get caught on something or just,
one of the
I'm
most
instantly mad for
one
at least
of the
20 minutes.
Worst thing. One of the worst things that you can do to, or that the world can do to you as a human being is have a door handle grab your earphones out of your ears.
It's just like
it's the worst feeling
I'm
ever.
Not thinking about it. Like it happens to me, and I just want to punch everything. I'm just like. Everything's gonna die.
And Logan like puts his earphones on and he tries to listen to something else for a second. I was like, Logan, come on, it's the dun da 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 dun. And he's like,
what's dun da da da?
This I don't know. Like this sounds like it should be like the menu in a, or the music in a video game.
And
I was like, and well, no, and he was like, this sounds like it should be like the menu music for a video game. And I was like, Logan, keep your stupid comments in your pocket. This is dun da da da. Oh wait,
dun, 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 dun.
Wait. I just start have my
nice, so professional.
Oh wait, I didn't mean to. This is the least professional. I wanted to get all high tech by bringing out my iPad and having the music like ready.
Ooh, yeah, that's so Logan. Keep your stupid comments in your pocket.
Yeah, this but is... I just...
Wait. No, you gotta wait like 30 seconds first. It takes a while.
So, so welcome to the Comments in Your Pocket podcast. I am joined by Sam Slade,
yep.
Kevin Mix,
hey,
and
how's it go?
Myself. Nut choker.
Hey, he's always choking
on
nuts.
I'm always choking on nuts. Alec Wright.
Didn't the doctor say you need to eat less nuts?
I'm
Rick.
That's Rick if he decided to start smoking.
Hi.
I'm Rick. Yeah. This is my new setup. Is like in, it hasn't been implemented well yet, but in the future when
we're getting.
Yeah, we're getting it's still like
how
a working
cool would
thing.
It be if John Carpenter listened to our podcast because his music was on. Just like my music.
He gets anonymous tips from people. Hey, you're a music person.
All right, so
is like the comments in your what?
Yeah, chaps, okay. tonight the theme for the podcast.
He's like, these guys are fucking idiots.
Tonight, the theme for the podcast is mortality. I want to start off by saying that. I already told both of you, so don't act surprised, because I know you're lying.
What?
And it's
more
weird.
What?
It kind of ties into a lot of the things we've been talking about. Oh, by the way, Samson and I were talking earlier. This is, you guys
I'm
don't
fired.
Care. You're fired.
Yep.
We've decided that you do too many lists, dude.
We're going to replace you with... I can't think of anyone.
we're replacing you with Kurt Squared.
Wait, why is Kevin fired?
Too many lists, dude.
Okay.
We just got the ratings in from last quarter, and the viewers
that
at home are saying...
That one guy, he has way too many
too lists. Many lists.
Viewers are saying Sean. He's not been on the podcast yet, but they are saying Sean.
I forgot Sean!
I'm pretty sure he's gone. Okay, to be fair,
I think he's gone.
Is he not here?
Wait, August 16th is when he said. Is it August 16th yet?
Yes, it is. It's August 17th.
Okay.
He left yesterday.
It was.
Yes.
It was.
Never mind, I didn't forget you, Sean. I remembered that you left yesterday, so I didn't invite you.
Dang it, Sean didn't come. Not once. He wasn't once on
I'm
the
sorry,
podcast.
Sorry, Sean.
Okay, no. You got to go back and listen to the podcast with me and Alec.
Oh, my God.
There's a point, and then we're more like, Sean. God!
No.
I plan on listening to that podcast.
Well, before the podcast, I
was
trying to think,
so
okay, who,
sad.
If we had some, like,
we both
had already
too.
Kind
That's...
of agreed that it was just going to be us two, but I was, like, before Kevin showed up, I kind of like the idea of surprising him with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, alright, if someone could replace Sam Slade, who would it be? Like, who would be available? We can't have Kurt or Rachel.
We literally could not think
And
of
I was like,
anyone.
God, I can't think of a single person. And then Kevin got there, and I was like, Sean! I'm sorry!
I'm like, yeah, it'd be funny if Sean...
Oh!
Sean!
Like, and the thing is, like, even earlier that day when we... Because I called him and I said, hey, so what do you think? I mean, should we replace him? Should we do... He's like, honestly, I don't think we need to. He's like, yeah, to be honest, I can't think of
anyone. We don't have anyone that could even come in.
We're like, yeah, I don't think so. And then... we felt so...
Sean's behind you when you're saying it, too. He's just, like,
yeah,
sitting there, like...
Literally.
I'm right here, you guys.
No
you called
one.
Me in a day ago.
Just kind of like Arrested Development, BoJack Horseman moment. Camera just pans out. That person, the dog, is just sitting there the whole time like, oh my God.
So what about you? Are you game?
So it seems like we haven't seen you in like 2 weeks. What have you been up to?
Aside from
is it
either
weeks?
One, because of someone else's
yeah,
trip being trapped,
the
or
last time I saw
actually
you
going on a trip
was when we did the podcast 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When
we did the
watch True Detective.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
We did Alien.
We just did Alien. Never mind.
That was the last time we saw you, like, collectively, right?
Yeah. I was in Arizona this past week.
Why?
Why do I have a story about the Grand Canyon? Okay.
Wow.
Here's
I
the
didn't
thing.
Know that.
Let me open this with a hook. You know, like, what those English majors will say, when you write an essay, you want a hook.
You want a hook.
Uncle Mickey tells me the first thing you write in an essay is you put in a hook.
I always want to start an essay with...
That
like,
man
like,
believes
so this,
in
so this son of a bitch
hooks.
Teacher told me to write a fucking essay,
no
right?
Crap, there I was.
No crap, there I... No shit, there I was writing this bullshit essay.
The hook is, Grand Canyon, completely bogus. Okay?
Is it?
That's the hook.
No, I don't think you're offending anyone by saying
no,
that.
No.
I think
here's
most...
the thing. I'm going to say it's great. It is great.
Tell
but here's the story.
About
the story's
this
bogus. Okay.
Bogus thing.
So, Arizona, you've been there. It was my first...
Oh...
It was my first time ever going.
Update from Ben. Sorry to interrupt you. We have 40 followers right now on Twitch. Not watching, but we have 40 people actually following us.
40? Just right now? They just started?
I don't know.
They're just like,
are you sure it's not Rachel with 40 different accounts?
No, that I'm actually sure that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's not get excited then.
So, like, first time ever going to Arizona. You go to Arizona, like, every other week.
Wait, this was really your first time in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
This first is first time
and all that candy. Crap about Arizona in the past.
Wow, you made fun of Arizona? You didn't even know?
Wait, when did I make fun of it?
Like, all the time!
Dude, no. You so did. The only jokes I make about Arizona is either Kevin doing meth there, or Nico being in Korea.
He's just a seller, dude. He doesn't. Okay. He doesn't take his own stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So your first time in Arizona, the Grand, and you. I'm guessing you went to the Grand Canyon.
We take we stay in this little town called Williams. It's like super small, and you can take a train from there to the Grand Canyon. Okay. So, we're on the train. The train line's pretty it's annoying. Like there's people on the staff. Are, trying to be all buddy-buddy with you, and you're just like, I just want to, look out the window and see, pretty Arizona, you know, and get to the Grand Canyon. But they're like, let's sing a song! And, this dude just comes out with a tambourine and, a guitar, and he's playing a song. It's just like, I'm just so annoyed. I'm pretending like I'm deaf to the guy singing, and, I'm just pretending like I can't hear him, and, whenever he tries to, include me, I go, I can't hear him.
You... So this wasn't even, a passive thing. It's not like you looking out the window ignoring him. You actively tried to pretend you were deaf.
I did. Okay, so I don't remember why I decided that, but I was just like, I'm going to pretend like I'm deaf. Like, he's going to seem like such a jerk when he tries to, interact with me. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah, and you got to talk like Benicio,
you got to talk.
Del Toro, and he was like, I can help my thumb. Hey, flip it.
Anyways, I'm going to skip that. So, we get to the Grand Canyon. It is cloudy as balls.
Okay.
Foggy
as
balls.
It's monsoon season.
Shut up. You're just all the workers there. They were all saying that. It was so
annoying.
It
is. No, it is. My dad's from Arizona. You think
it's like going to the Bahamas. It's cold here. Well, yeah, you went at the wrong time of the year.
Okay, well, you think August. That
no, it's
in
monsoon
Arizona.
Season,
monsoon season.
Okay, so we walk out to the Grand Canyon.
He doesn't know what he's
doing. Whatever. Whatever.
Monsoon's doing.
Dude, it's monsoon season.
So, funny
Forget
thing
about
so,
monsoon season.
I'm talking really foggy, like foggy, like this isn't mist. This is fog. Yeah. It's like you can't see 10 feet in front of you. So that means you can't see the Grand Canyon at all. So you go out to the edge. I've got pictures. I'll show you guys later, but I got pictures of just like a cliff and just fog. Just like, hey look, that's the Grand Canyon, you guys. Right over there. So it's like I'm sitting there and like we took a 2-hour train ride with annoying people, drove all the way to Arizona. To see the Grand Canyon, and I can't see it. And I'm like, just fuming inside. I'm just like, this is so stupid. Like, I can't, especially because there's nothing I can do about it. It's just kind of like, we're just here, at a park now. It's just kind of like a park you just kind of roam around because it's just fog. And I'm just like, the Grand Canyon is right here, and I can't see it, you know?
Now, I want to jump to this quickly, in the beginning. Are you done?
Almost.
Okay, sorry.
It starts raining.
I thought you were done, and then I saw your hand, and I was like, oh, he wasn't done. I'm a terrible
person. It starts raining, and not just, pouring. And we're just sitting there in the rain, and, you can't see the Grand Canyon.
It's monsoon season!
Yeah, and that's all the workers... That was actually funny.
Everyone's walking around
it's
monsoon season.
They're like, well, it's monsoon season. It's like, it doesn't hardly rain here, except for this time of the year. And they're, just so excited for, the animals. This is so good for the animals. It's raining. And
it's also... It's crazy going to other parts of the country right now.
Those fucking fuckers. Saying it's monsoon season. Good for the animals. Yeah, no, man.
It bothered me because I'm just like, shut up. I don't want to hear your rationale. Like, I just wanted to see the Grand Canyon.
It's crazy going to other parts of the country right now because there's not a drought there.
Yeah.
Like, when I went to Montana...
Like, it was raining harder than I'd seen it rain in a long time.
Yeah, when I went to Montana a few weeks ago, it rained every other day. And it was hard rain. Like, it wasn't just pansy little rain that, we get here. No, it was legit rain. And I was like, I forgot that California is not the center of the universe. Anyway.
At the end of it all, though, there was a point where there was a clearing in the fog that I could see.
And you got a glimpse of the canyon.
Yeah. And I sit there. I'm here in the restaurant. We're in a restaurant just, hiding out from
the fog.
Rain. And, I see it happening.
The canyon
and I'm like,
is in the fog.
And I'm like, I need to see that. And, I run out. And the second I get outside, it starts to hail on me. And it's just like, and, I still need to see it. And, I walk out, onto, the cliffside, and I just see, a window of it move by.
Did you guys hear about those fires that happen on the freeway between here and Las Vegas not too long ago?
Nope. On the freeway?
On the freeway. Like, what? Cars were catching
like,
fire.
Hey!
It looked...
Hey!
It looked apocalyptic. Like, there were cars catching fire. Like,
that
like,
is so weird.
For some reason, I just thought the freeway just caught on fire. How did that happen?
Satan's hand just kind of reaches up.
That would be...
Yep.
That's an accomplishment. Okay.
So, this is so crazy.
Okay,
it never
happens. Okay, arsonists out there, your goal, set the freeway on fire, okay? If you can do that, you're like the best arsonist ever.
We're gonna set the biggest fire that the North has ever seen.
Like, right in the middle of it, and he has to keep moving out of the way from cars.
we're gonna light the biggest fire that the freeway has ever seen.
Insane.
You just get the husk going.
Well, when we were driving back, like, we drove back from our trip on the day that those fires happened. Like, we actually prolonged it. Not prolonged it.
It was
We had to stop sooner. Like, we were going to stay in one place. We ended up having to stay in another place because of those fires. But what was crazy is while we were driving down, we were about 2 to 3 hours away from Las Vegas. It was pouring rain where we were. Like, a thunderstorm was going on around us. And less than, like, 2-3 hours away, there was these fires happening. We were hearing about them on the news, and we also had a friend that was on the freeway, so we
on
were getting
fire.
Pictures from the... On fire.
Our friend of ours
was... But yeah, no, we were driving back, and, like, there's a point where we had to get gas, and it's raining so... I took a video. There's a video on my Instagram, but it was raining so hard, like, harder than I think I've ever seen it before. We ran into this gas station, and there was, like, a group of people huddled...
Which was on fire.
...huddled inside the gas station taking refuge because they were too scared to drive. Me and Austin and Logan, we ran in, we're getting snacks, and we're going to get back on the road, and everyone else is like, the rain is scary, and we're like, yeah, you guys have fun at the gas station, we're going to... Bye! Yeah. And then we got in the car and drove away, and everything was fine. Those little girls were scared.
And they're like, but it's like Pirates of the Caribbean 3 out there.
I legitimately think... All right, when
like, that's the best part!
When that happened, I actually think this guy broke his daughter's leg, or at least like fractured it or something. Because
her leg on purpose,
not on purpose.
they're inside. It's raining too hard
in the gas station. he punches her leg so hard.
I forget what it was. There was a movie that I saw like the other day where somebody like broke somebody else's leg. It was just like the stupidest looking like leg break ever. I was just like, that. There's no way he broke his leg doing that. Like,
but yeah, this girl's freaking out. She's crying, and her parents were like, "Get over it. We're gonna get in the car and drive away." And she was like, "I'm scared of the rain." And it like it was justified. It wasn't just rain. Like, it was pouring rain. Like, I understand why. And there was thunder and lightning. Like, it looked pretty scary. If you're a little girl, you understand. And especially like her parents were yelling at her to get in the car. I felt bad for the kid. And so, like, at this point, like, we were all standing in the lobby because my mom was, like, buying something. I was just standing in the lobby waiting for her to get done. So I walked over. I was like, hey, it's not that scary. It's just rain or whatever. And then, her mom and her were in the...
How old was she?
She was, like, maybe 4 at the oldest.
And try to get over the rain and the thunder. Like,
yeah,
the first time she's ever seen lightning.
Yeah, right. And no, like, that's seriously what it was. And, like, the mom...
That is just the fire that comes around from the sky. And if it touches you, you die. Yeah, no, get over it, you 4-year-old.
That's terrible.
And then like the mom's
was
trying,
your leg broken?
The mom's getting kind of annoyed, and then the dad pulls the car up. He gets out of the car, and he's pretty annoyed at this point. And he walks straight up to her, grabs her, picks her up, pulls her outside of the car,
throws her through the window
of the window. But as he's walking out the door, her leg got caught, like her foot got caught on the handle of the door, and the door like, and there was a little step, and she started screaming, and I was like, my jaw just hit the floor. I was like,
fuck!
I just watched that happen. That girl's leg is at least like popped out right now. Like,
she joined it or
screaming, and both me and my like at that point,
worst
my mom had walked
ever.
Out, and me and my mom were looking at each other. We're like, that poor, like, she probably has to go to the hospital, and her parents
it's
are yelling
days,
at her.
It's days like that that, like, turn little kids into, like, either, like, supervillains or superheroes.
That was actually, when she left, and I was like, yep, now she's gonna be a stripper.
Like, she's just, like, she's gonna grow up and be, like, Batman, or, like, a terrible serial killer.
So, like, I wanna get this done early, because we always kind of save this for the end of the podcast, but I wanna get out of the way kind of quicker. What movies have you guys seen this week? My list
we
is
even do
really
that
short.
Anymore?
We kind of do.
We
did it last week because
when it is two people, you have enough to where you can actually take time to do most of the movies we've all seen. As opposed to where it's the three of us, we kind of have to skim. I wish I would have
written it all down. Brought it
to you. I only have one movie outside of Zardoz.
So what was yours?
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods commentary.
Cabin in the Woods commentary. It was really good.
Bitchin' commentary, which I can take
who
that
does
back.
It?
Drew
Goddard and Joss Whedon.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's good. It's like good listening commentary. To one of our podcasts, but if we had made a bitchin' movie, you know, like...
Let's get to that point.
Like seriously, like it's so great. You listen to it, and I was in there. yeah, right, guys. Oh, I'm not part of this.
Like they're not there.
They're so buddy. Like it's like listening to it. It's contagious. You know, you're listening to it, and you're like this. Like I want to watch the movie so bad now. Like the actual movie, which I'm sure Alec could agree. Let's see.
It really makes you want to watch Cabin in the Woods.
And so, I still have it. I really want to. So let's see. A few things for me. Since last time, if you want to hear what I talked about last time,
I'm going to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you can hear it.
So six viewings of The Room.
Yeah,
for
so
each
six,
day.
Each day. So I mean, yeah, more than that.
Yeah.
I saw a really interesting movie, which I talked to you briefly. I'm like, have you ever heard of it? No. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to watch it today. Since I have watched it, it's an indie Spanish, Spanish indie film from 2007 called...
I was wondering what that was.
Called Time Crimes. And it is amazing.
Time Crimes?
Like Time Crimes.
Like Time Bandits?
Yeah, but Time Crimes.
Well, that's what Time Bandits is
about. Oh, that's a movie with good time traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, it's one of those movies up there with Primer's. You haven't heard of it, but it's a great time travel movie.
Okay.
Kind of thing. There's, like, categories for, like, sci-fi movies, indie sci-fi movies that you've, like, never heard of that are really good.
Like Event Horizon.
Like Event Horizon, or, like, Primer. I still don't get Primer. I just saw it a second time. Holy crap, I don't get it. But that's saying something. That should be a warning to you.
It's only an hour-long movie, too.
Yeah, well, it's, like, hour 20.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, Time Crimes, though, seriously, it's so good. Like, I strongly suggest
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I've heard it's
really good. From you. Right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, yeah, you know.
Somebody told me that was good.
Yeah, this guy was...
You.
Yeah,
that told you.
You were there. You
yeah.
were there.
Yeah. I was there.
Seconds ago.
I'm here.
I also, I saw another Bond movie, which was The Living Daylights. I said that to Timothy Dalton. Pretty good. I think License to Kill's better, but it was still really good. Solid Bond movie.
License to Kill's good, too. They're both, like, equal in my mind.
They're really close, but yeah. I think I like License to Kill more just because it was, like, made for Dalton. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas Daylights was actually written for Roger Moore, and they cast... Because they didn't know Roger Moore would quit until after he had made his last movie.
Well, he was, like, 80 years old at that time.
Yeah, he was so old. He was not that old.
Okay, here's the thing. His last movie, the reason he quit,
after his last movie, he was, you know why?
Yeah,
okay, maybe he was, like, in his... Early 70s at the oldest.
The reason you quit was because the Bond girl in the last movie he did. What's his last movie? Was it
A View to a Kill?
Yeah,
yeah.
He was older than the Bond girl's mother, so he was like, "I'm not doing Bond anymore. I'm too old. I can't do it." So
yeah, that's why A View to a Kill is probably my second worst Bond movie.
Can I say that I saw a Bond movie too?
Oh yeah, what'd you see?
No, well I just it was
no.
It was
what'd you see?
I saw Die Another Day.
Oh, the worst one.
And it is the worst one.
Yeah,
I cannot
yeah.
believe how bad it was.
Yeah, like, you're watching. You're just like,
it's the first
no,
time I
no.
saw a Bond movie.
No, you keep saying no throughout the whole thing.
It's
you're
the
like,
first
that
time I
work.
Ever saw a Bond
that
movie
that
like
work. That
when,
doesn't work.
When it was over, I was just like, there was nothing I liked about that. That was awful. Like there
very
was,
few.
Like
the henchman though was pretty cool. The guy with the needles. I mean, he wasn't great, but he was cool looking. I'm like, oh, that's a cool looking villain. If they had fleshed him out a little bit more,
just like,
it would have been a cool villain.
It was such garbage. It was just
but,
like,
yeah.
It was such a bad movie.
Yeah, you're like, sitting there, you're just like...
In the Bond, like, the opening song is also, like, the worst opening
yeah,
song.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is the worst opening song, because...
It's like this, like, K-pop sounding
because when Because when I heard that Madonna was doing it, I wasn't necessarily against it.
How was
like,
Madonna?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, see, the thing is, I like Madonna, but like Reservoir Dogs, I like early Madonna. See, once she got through her Papa Don't Preach phase, I tuned out. That was past the Papa Don't Preach phase, and if she had done something more towards her
and
classic
I was tuned
work,
out.
Yeah, I was tuned out. And so, but if she had done something closer to, like, her earlier work, I think that would have been really cool and perfect for a Bond theme. But they didn't. They went with the wrong one. The Wrong Madonna. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to it. I'm like, I couldn't get into it all. I'm like,
No, it's awful. It's a terrible song.
Nope.
Like, besides just being in a terrible movie, it's just a bad song.
And all the actors were just so underused. You're like, oh, like, that actor is normally good.
Yeah, dude, Michael Madsen's in it. Like, twice.
Yeah. Michael Madsen's in it. Rosamund Pike is in it. Holly Berry, who, to be fair, I don't think is all that great to begin with, but she has done better than this, and she's probably one of the worst.
Dude, but she was Catwoman.
She was one.
Dude, okay, Catwoman.
She wasn't the worst. She wasn't the worst
Bond girl.
That movie,
her performance, made the line in X-Men 1, the terrible line that everybody knows,
what happens to Tokusatsu.
It didn't look that bad after seeing the movie. You're just like,
that's bad.
That was such a bad movie. Like,
just, I've never seen Catwoman, but it's one of those things that I want to.
It's just one of those days you're going to see it and you're going to know it's bad.
Yeah.
We should just all watch it one day. I'm never going to see it alone, probably.
Yeah, that's not a movie you ever see alone. I remember when I saw posters for it when I was a kid, I thought it looked cool.
Like, dude, they're making a movie about Catwoman.
Yeah, dude, right? Catwoman. Dude, booty. Booty. That's my favorite thing about Arkham City, is playing as Catwoman.
She's black, which is cool, too.
You get to see her booty all the time.
Yeah.
I prefer playing as Catwoman because you get to see that booty.
Because
when you're running around, you either look at buff Batman running around with that, you know, with muscles or whatever, his cape, or you look at booty.
Yeah.
And she has, like, scientifically designed booty that's the maximized...
Scientifically designed.
Who's the scientist that comes up with that?
he came up with a booty equation.
The booty scientist.
E equals MC booty.
That's the coolest scientist out there. Like, his lab coat's, like, popped up and everything. He's like, I'm the booty scientist.
The booty scientist, man.
He wears aviators to
you want a booty
lab
in your game? I gotcha. I don't know why he sounds like a little Mickey, but he's just like...
Oh, yeah, okay.
He has equations all up against his wall that are just like, yeah, like, five plus five.
And they are mathematical equations. They're just in the shape of booty. and, like, booty and everything. They're just like, this is the shape.
He frequently collaborates with the booby scientist.
Yeah. They're best friends.
They're best friends.
Yeah, they're
best friends.
One day they're gonna team up and make them perfect woman. That sounds like a pitch for a movie.
Let's do it. Okay. Trademark.
Booty scientist.
Okay.
The first movie is just about the booty scientist. Like, he's just like the bootyologist.
Yeah, and then the end credit scene is the boob scientist.
And then at the end credits, you get a flash like the booty scientist will return in the perfect woman or something like that.
The perfect woman.
The perfect woman.
Dirty Harry. Dirty Harry.
All right.
We'll return.
Anyways.
I saw Whiplash again.
Again?
Evan called me and said, "Hey, dude, have you seen, like, friggin' Whiplash?" And I was like, "No, Evan, I haven't seen Whiplash."
Well, you're wrong.
No, friggin' Whiplash.
Dude,
Whiplash.
Friggin' Whiplash.
It's the sequel.
It's such a friggin' good movie. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's great. It's seriously amazing.
I'm so alone in the world.
Yeah. No, you should see it. It's like,
I know,
one of the best.
I am aware.
It is one of the best.
Oh yeah, no, I know you've seen the story.
Okay. I don't believe you guys have seen it, so this is kind of insight to you. I saw the SpongeBob movie, the second one.
Oh, how was it?
It was really good, actually.
That's what I
heard. Really enjoyable. Some people are saying, dude, I like it way more than the first one because the first one was this, and that. No, absolutely not. One is way better. Okay, one is amazing. I love that movie. It's really funny. Two did not make me laugh as much. However, I did appreciate the animation because it was closer to the original three seasons. Because they brought back the people from the original three seasons to do the movie. Yes.
I know.
So a lot of the humor is the same. So there's a lot of really cool adult humor. There are references to, seriously, The Shining, Aliens, Mad Max.
What?
Like, just to name a few. I don't even remember all of them, but that's just a few that I'm like... It's Aliens! Oh, dude, it's Mad Max! Oh, dude, it's The Shining! Like, just a few cool references here and there. There are some things about where I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I guess I can put up with that because of SpongeBob, but for the most part, it was good. It was funny, solid. I saw Barton Fink again, and you're Buck Rogers.
And I'm Buck Rogers.
God, that movie is like, because before I was like, oh, I don't know, dude, I've seen a lot of Coen Brothers movies since then. Seeing it again, it is definitely in, like, it's like my seventh favorite, I think.
It's a good movie.
It doesn't quite beat, like, for me, Burn After Reading, and then obviously my top five, which I mentioned before.
Yeah, I don't think I like it more than Burn After Reading.
but it's seventh. Like, it's really high up there. And spoiler talk for you and me later, because, like, I there's more things I realized about the ending. What We Do in the Shadows, I saw.
Oh!
Yeah.
I see that movie now.
We did a little Redbox spiel, and I got, like, I got, like, SpongeBob
Dude,
for me
Dude, Stu's the
and
best,
Aaron.
Right?
Yeah, no.
We love Stu.
Yeah, we love Stu. Yeah. He's like the Sean of us.
And you know how he would have... He wanted to have died.
He would have wanted... Yeah, I do know how he would have wanted to have died.
That's my favorite line in the whole thing. You gotta see it, dude.
Okay, you'll realize that, like... The best line is, okay, so I was wondering if, like, maybe, like, you could do the dishes, because, like, they haven't been done in, like, over 5 years. So, and look at him. It's, like, been 5 years.
Vampires so, like, don't see, do see, bloody
see,
dishes.
It's, like, see, look, we have a chart here with our names on it and the chores, and it has been your name to dishes for literally 5 years, okay? So... And it's in New Zealand,
with New Zealand accents trying to do German accents.
But coming across like District 9.
Yeah,
Yeah, it comes across like District 9. I also saw, you may have seen it on Netflix, or you may have just kind of seen the posters around of like, oh, what's that? It's a recent Simon Pegg movie called Kill Me Three Times.
Yeah, I've heard
it. May or may not,
it's on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I saw it, it's solid. You've seen Blood Simple, right, Coen Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically that.
Okay.
But with more Simon Pegg-ish humor. Like, that kind of thing. I mean,
I haven't seen Blood Simple in forever. I barely remember it.
It honestly is a solid, just kind of reimagining of Blood Simple, because it's the same basic plot, except it's more
is
of
it
a comedy.
To be?
No. I mean, not really, but basically the plot is basically the same.
Okay.
It's that same kind of thing, but it's more comedic and the plot's a little more intricate. But it's odd if you're looking for a good laugh. I mean, it's all right. And I saw the last one before we move on to, I think, the big movie is Imitation Game.
Oh, how was that?
It's
a good movie.
Yeah, I saw it. It didn't quite make it into my favorites of last year.
I don't think it does for me either.
Not even honorable mentions, which I feel bad about. But,
it's a good movie, though.
Yeah, no, it is a good movie. And it did deserve the attention it got, honestly. But yeah, I mean,
there's some really good parts in there that you're just like, that is so cool.
You're like, yeah, that's really cool. It comes out and surprises you at a couple moments. You're like, oh,
funny thing about that movie. I didn't know that. I saw it with my uncle when he was in town, mm-hmm. and my uncle actually, that was his job in Vietnam.
Really?
Like that, he did coding.
Decoding?
And stuff.
Wow, that's cool.
So he was like, we talked a lot about like how things are done and stuff. It's
wow,
pretty
that's
interesting.
That's really cool.
Because there was a part in it.
the unsung heroes of the wars.
Sam's like, you're wearing your Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep. Of course he is.
Of course I am. Which I'm in love with. Like, I walked in because Sam's like got here.
I cannot Amazon. Stop looking at it.
Sam's like got here before
bucks?
I did.
Amazon, yep.
So I walked in. He was sitting on this couch in my room. And I was like, dude, that is such a cool tank top.
Right?
Like,
it's
pretty rad. So, what are your movies for this week, Sam? Or these past 2 weeks we're going to talk to you?
Okay, so...
Highlights.
I watched a bunch of Westerns this month, just because, like, Arizona put me in the mood.
Yeah.
I saw,
Arizona
like,
puts me in the mood for Psycho, personally. But that's just me.
I saw High Noon. It's good. It kind of feels like Paths of Glory in a way.
Mm.
It kind of has that same sort of like scene.
That's a good one. Paths of Glory.
Yeah. It didn't end the way I wanted it to. Like
it didn't end.
Like it had a good ending. Like,
it's
like,
still going.
But I was just like, oh, I thought, okay, I guess they didn't do that. All right. I thought it would have ended like this, but it didn't, you know?
Yeah.
What else did I see? I saw Joe Kidd. It's a Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, yeah. Clint Eastwood, Joe Kidd.
Clint Eastwood's so Clint Eastwood in that movie.
He's very Clint.
Like, he was so Clint in that movie. Like, he just, like...
He's Clint.
He, like, literally didn't care about anything. Like, nothing. He was either phoning it in or, like, really trying hard to not care. Because he was just, like, when he shot Clint,
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think him trying hard to not... him trying hard to not care is him phoning it in at... trying not
he tries really hard to phone it in because that's what his roles are. Guys that just like nothing fazes them.
Yeah.
And he was so unfazed in that movie. It was so weird.
So was he a good actor or a bad actor in that movie?
He was the Clint. Best I've ever seen.
He was Clint.
Yeah, he was Clint.
Clint.
But I'm actually getting, I'm just putting myself on a Paul Thomas Anderson binge pretty much.
Really?
I've seen I saw Magnolia within the past 2 weeks, and I saw Punch Drunk Love yesterday. Or not yesterday, 2 days ago.
I mean...
Dude, Magnolia.
Magnolia.
You haven't seen Magnolia,
no,
right?
No, I've... Yeah,
it's so good. It's like 3 hours long, but it doesn't feel like it. Because it's just like... And I cannot even like... It's just... It's such a good movie. I can't say anything about it. Just like... Just see it. It's so great. You know?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is the best in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually... funny story, because I'm going to watch Eyes Wide Shut this week, which is going to be my final Kubrick film. I didn't know this, but Kubrick considered that the best of all of his films, personally.
Eyes Wide... What?
I know, it's crazy, right? Okay, anyway.
But, that's everybody's like least favorite, though. Well,
no, it's not.
Dan Harmon really likes Eyes Wide Shut.
No, yeah, it's a good movie. I'm just saying, like, okay, that's like his lower tier.
It's gaining love again. Like, some people consider, okay, dude, it's actually a masterpiece. Like, at the time, the hype was really high, but now... that the hype's gone, it's really good kind of thing.
All right, so you still don't do movies?
Like Tom Cruise was actually filming Eyes Wide Shut, and then Paul Thomas Anderson just walked on set, hey, Tom Cruise.
Hey.
And then he's like, you know what, you should be in my upcoming movie, Magnolia, and then they came out the same year.
The reason why I'm doing that, though, is I found out he doesn't have that many movies, like, and I've seen a lot of them already. Like, Paul Thomas Anderson.
No,
he has
very
eight
few.
Movies yeah. in all.
Yeah.
So, I only have three left to do.
And Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights, The Master, and Heartache, which is his first movie.
Right.
And, yeah. like, yeah, I'm in that mood. I don't know, I just like all his movies. He's such a good...
I've only seen two of his...
What I've, like, realized, is that, like, he makes movies that, like, nothing happens. Like, there isn't really a plot, but, like, the stuff that happens in them just makes the plot kind of thing. Like, I don't know, I'm not describing it right, but, like, you know what I mean?
Like, okay.
Like, there's no plot, but the stuff that happens makes a plot.
There is no driving force.
Yeah.
There is no MacGuffin, there is no...
Try and explain the plot for There Will Be Blood.
The plot is strung
like,
together
what's the actual
by
story?
These events.
What's the story of There Will Be Blood?
There's a guy who wants, some oil, dude.
Yeah, there's a guy who wants some oil.
There's like, Eli!
It's a 2.5 hour long movie, though. Yeah. You can't just be like, there's a guy who wants some oil. Like, it's like, but it's just like...
It's just events, just things.
It's just events, it's just things.
You know,
and it's great.
Which is kind of like an exaggerated Coen Brothers, because the Coen Brothers similar, yeah. not quite to that extent. There is a basic story, but it changes constantly.
What I've come to the conclusion is he's pretty much a mixture between the Coen Brothers and Martin Scorsese in style. Like he's pretty much that's
interesting.
That's how I'd describe him as a director.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you
watching? Yeah, I'm done. I don't care.
All right, cool. So the movie that we have all seen.
Zardoz.
That I'm super excited to talk to you guys about.
Zardoz. Okay, if you guys haven't seen the trailer, we gotta watch it after
this. I watched it directly after.
Okay. After this, we gotta say it is so great.
So, I don't know.
So, how do you start with Zardoz?
I don't... Well, you start with a really awesome concept. Because, alright, so like, itching to talk about is, like, conceptually... That movie's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, if you talk on paper, the world's destroyed, everyone's dead, and then, spoilers if you haven't seen Zardoz, watch it. It's dumb, crazy, ridiculous. Only watch the first half of it.
That's what I was going to say. So I was like,
just stop after the halfway point, then you can just, you watch Zardoz.
Assume what happens.
Yeah.
Because that's what you'll be doing even if you watch the second half.
There's these tribes of people that go around killing people, and then there's this flying stone head
that vomits
that
guns,
barfs up guns, and
God is good, penis is bad.
Sean Connery's penis.
What would be the freaking funniest cosplay ever? If you just like have this blue, like just kind of. Like, just blue, like, sky suit with, like, clouds and stuff. And then the head is the thing.
That would be the best.
That would be so cool, right? And you're just going around. And the mask is on top, right? So you could still say the things.
But I almost started talking to... Like, I wanted to save all the conversation we would have for the podcast. But after I talked to Kevin about it, I was like... Okay, there's, like... Because I watched it with Liv.
Okay.
And she... While we were watching it, she looked it up. And she was like, oh, apparently they're going to remake it with The Rock. As the main
what?
Apparently, that's just what they're doing now. Like, That's just a thing. Like,
or Chris Pratt.
Let's remake it with The Rock or Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of like the new Schwarzenegger, I guess. But like, still, like, that's such a weird way to remake,
right? But I like I'm down for it. Like if they can remake it,
remakes in his
keeping the concept about it, but throwing out all the weird stuff that stopped making sense.
I am down for a complete reimagining.
Yeah,
honestly.
However,
or a full on comedy that embraces the weirdness of it, one or the other, or both.
What I but see here's the thing. The thing that I liked almost the most about it was like the way it looked.
Yeah,
like, I really liked that old like really grungy style of it. You know, it was like, well, you guys haven't seen Time Bandits, but it looks a lot like Time Bandits. Like when I saw it, I was like, this looks just like Time Bandits. You know, like I went into it not knowing anything about it, and when it started, I was like, am I watching Time Bandits? Is this Time Bandits?
Is it?
And Sean Connery's in that too, so it's like.
Okay, wait. So there's that scene in the middle. Really the scene that actually that. Sold yeah. me on watching the movie when Dan Harmon talked about it on his podcast. The line that sold me on watching it was they described the scene where they're all standing around Sean Connery while he's watching porn, staring at his crotch, waiting for him to get an erection.
Oh yeah, that was so weird.
And he's just standing there like, yeah, there's my penis that you're staring at.
That's my penis.
He's the one guy.
And they don't understand how erections work. Yeah. Like, they're like, we don't get it. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Scientists have been trying to figure out what an erection is and why we use it. Or like they just didn't get it. Like,
we don't get it.
That's
we
why our men do not have erections it. Anymore.
Because they don't get it. They do get them. It's just when they happen, they're like, what is this?
Was the thing, though.
I literally...
Like, Sean Connery was the only one that could get an erection. But, like, what I wish, at the end of the scene, I wish they would have, like, saw his erection and just been like, I get it now. I understand.
Oh my god, that makes so much sense.
I quoted that to because Logan showed me a cyanide and happiness video today. And one of the characters in the video had a really bad southern accent, and then he said something like relating to the video because it was like a cop shooting video and like there was a ghost beat up or whatever, and he said something about ghosts, and I was like, oh my god, that makes so much sense.
So the reason why the second half didn't work though.
You're lucky bastard. You get
besides
to see
it being tomorrow, weird, tomorrow. Extra weird. Like there's a point. Like it's
they lose direction.
That's they lose direction, and they completely rehash the same story that they had the last 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Like I was sitting there, I was like, we just did all this. Like he just discovered the whole like.
Honestly,
he's like the key, and then it's like 30 minutes later, it's like, oh dude, he's the key, and I'm like. Yeah, you guys, we did that like an hour ago.
If they made the movie flow like a story normally does, where you know, like the middle
his
is actually the middle.
His penis erected itself.
And then there's the third act of the movie is actually a natural flowing third act. It would have been a really good movie.
Yeah,
like I think it would. It could have like actually benefited a lot from.
It really falls apart.
It really does. And then the ending's so like. You're what like I when that movie ends, I was just
okay,
like,
hey.
But they shot everyone, and they're like, shoot us.
Okay, I was immortal, I would not want to die immediately after I became mortal again. I'd be like, okay, let me live and
life. Because like literally, like the concept is like,
they've been
people,
waiting long enough.
They've been there for like probably millions of years. They're at the point where they are so bored they want to die. They're like. That's the whole thing. They're so bored. They're just like, I wonder what death is really like.
The concept of punishment for people doing bad things is adding age to them. Like, that was such...
Yeah, that's
like,
so cool.
Like, they had so many good ideas going for them in that
movie.
Like,
there's the sickness and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I was like, this is so cool. I'm so into it. Like, everything.
Yeah.
Because... Like, I was like, I'm so glad I didn't know about this.
And it was like there were some really like advanced sci-fi aspects, but at the same time, like, most of the world was almost medieval.
And like the part where like they have the thing that keeps them alive forever,
yeah.
And like they're like, oh dude, I wish we could find the guy that like invented it so we can like ask him. He's like, oh yeah, he's over there. Because everybody's gonna live forever, so he's right over there. It's like, yeah, who invented it? Oh yeah, that guy.
Oh, that guy.
And then it's a talking crystal.
Yeah, that was kind of
wait. Well, it's a talking crystal.
And then he kind of it turns into
and then he goes into the crystal.
It kind of turns into the Matrix at the end,
and he shoots himself.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
In the mirror.
Oh, I'm alive. What?
What? That literally happened, though.
What happened?
And then he's out of the crystal.
What? And then the woman, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Let's have babies.
Let's have babies. That's it. And then, like, no, the first half of the movie, it sets up that he's going to be in a relationship with that one chick because she's like, oh, I like you, and we're going to be friends. And the other guy's like, I hate you, I hate you. I'm gonna banish you from my
kingdom. I'll bang you.
And then, like,
I'll bang that one.
No, I hate you. Oh, we'll have sex. No.
Sex. We'll have.
Okay, oh, I didn't mean to.
Stop doing that.
This has to get out of here. No, go away. That can't be there. That iPad's the downfall of this podcast.
Once he gets out of the crystal, though, like, it, like, turns into the Matrix, and, like, he can control everything. He's like, I am the one.
Yeah,
like, fully realized, and, like, yeah, it's just weird.
I did, and, again, another cool concept they have is that because those people hadn't been...
Where are the guns?
Those people were immortal and hadn't been evolving as normal human beings had. Sean Connery was actually more evolved than them because he was part of a tribe of people that had been naturally reproducing all that time, so they've gotten more intelligent.
Like,
yeah,
like they survive. They have no reason to survive
because
they are immortal.
They had so many cool concepts
in
that movie.
And the whole Wizard of Oz thing was really cool.
Yeah, when I realized, like,
no, right, it was cool. I hated the way that they, like, because it's just like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just leave the out of it.
I mean, I think the concept's cool. Like,
Zard of Oz.
The illusion's cool. Like, how they could have done that.
The reboot is called Zard of Oz. And it's the more realistic way of just looking at those words. Oh.
Zard of Oz?
Zard of Oz, that's
the part where they put plastic over him and they're like, he can't get out. And then he rips through and he's like, he ripped the plastic.
Okay.
How did he do that?
I lost it at that
scene.
Yeah,
me too.
When he went. Okay, and the best part is that's in the trailer as a shocking motor. It's so fun. Okay, we're watching it after this.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Zardoz.
Anything else to
have? There's definitely more to talk about, but, like, we could go on for hours. It was.
At the end of the end, everyone dies.
Yeah, they do.
So speaking of death, this is the most forced segue ever. Speaking of death,
you were the one saying you're good at segues.
I know. Well, and then I do this thing when I say I'm good at something, I immediately start thinking about it, and, like, I hold my, like, oh, I'm good at it. That means I have to be good at it now.
Yeah,
oh, crap, I'm bad at it now.
That's why you just don't.
Yeah, that's why
I
can't think about it. Anyway, today I actually got emotional. The reason today's theme is morality and not something else.
Wait, mortality.
Mortality's not morality. Those are two different
things.
Morality
and mortality.
Mortality is because we lost a national hero today. Like, and I mean that legitimately. We lost a good man today that you guys probably haven't heard of. He's this guy named Lenny B. Robinson. And his gig, he became famous on the internet not too long ago. I want to say within the past year. Because he was pulled over in his black Lamborghini. Because he had a Batman logo on the license plate instead of a actual license plate. He was wearing full Batman garb when he was pulled over.
Nice.
And his entire shtick, like, his thing, is he's rich or whatever, and he just puts on a Batman suit, like a good Batman suit, and goes to hospitals and talks to children, like, that are dying of cancer.
That's so cool.
And he just does that, like, on his weekends. And he became famous. And
I've heard about this guy.
Yeah,
he's
a great guy, and, like, all the interviews with him, they're always amazing. He seems
like
just
it's
the most
it's like
genuine
a convertible
person.
Lamborghini.
He died today.
Wow.
On the freeway, his Lamborghini broke down. And he had to pull over, like, it stopped in the middle of the fast lane, so he had to pull over. You know how sometimes, like, there's a space in, like, right next to the carpool lane that you can pull? He pulled into one of those. He opened the hood, and a Toyota Camry, like, slammed into the back of the car while he was standing in front of it, dead
Jesus.
On the scene. And I read that today, and I legitimately got emotionally broken up about it. Like, for the, like, I don't get,
was he in his Batman suit?
Yeah, I assume so. Because he drives that when he... I would assume he drives
that is worse. Batman died.
Yeah.
The real Batman died.
And so, like, I read that, and, like, I don't get emotional about, like, death ever. Like, when Leonard Nimoy died, I don't care. Robin Williams died, I don't care. Like,
okay, dude, no.
I
that was pretty sucky.
I don't feel anything. Like, whatever.
Williams,
I don't... But then, like, I see this guy, like...
something.
I mean, we miss... I'm not saying we don't miss anything. I just didn't get emotional. Like,
yeah.
But this guy, for whatever reason, like, his story was so interesting to me, like, so just genuine and selfless that I legitimately kind of got teared up for a second. And I realized, not to make it about me, but to make it about me, it was for a very specific reason. And it ties back into the conversation that Kevin and I were having about True Detective before this. And it's how he died. Because he was doing something, like, he pulled over, he thought he was safe. You know, he had his hazards on, he's looking at his car, he's waiting for a tow truck to show up. Sure, he's on a freeway, but he wants to make sure his car's okay, whatever. He's standing in front, thinks he's fine, and then this car just slams him. He doesn't get any warning, nothing he can do about it. He's dead instantly. And we were talking about, the way it ties in is Kevin and I were talking about True Detective, like, an hour before I read the story. About why, like, True Detective Season 2, I thought it was really good. Specifically the last two episodes, I thought were, like, amazing. Especially the way they handled the deaths of the three main... If you haven't watched True Detective Season 2, major spoilers, deaths of the three main characters.
I was actually going to say, are you going to talk about Taylor Kitsch's death?
Like, first, all right, so...
Okay, we're going to go in detail on spoilers.
We're going to...
soon.
No, we're... So. Sam Plant and I were talking, we think we should have a spoiler cast directly after this cast.
Yeah.
Like, just go straight into a True Detective spoiler cast.
Okay. Well, we were going to do that after a marathon. That's why I was saying.
Yeah, we can talk about it. We can spitball. We can throw paper around. Anyway, we were talking about... first Taylor Kitsch's death. Because, like... So they set this death up so that you think he's going to survive. Like, you know, he's pitted against, like, uncomprehensible odds. Like, there's a bunch of these, like, paramilitary guys that are going to kill him. And he's one dude.
And he fights his way through.
And he survives. He shoots his way out. You think he's golden. And then reality comes in, sneaks up behind him, and shoots him in the back. And then even after that, he starts like, this isn't how I die. Like, I'm too good for this. Like, I'm going to make it out of this. He starts crawling towards his gun. Then the guy walks up, giggles a little bit, and puts a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
And so like that, like, I didn't even really care about Taylor Kitsch's character that much until that happened.
I was going to say, that death, I thought about that death a lot more than I thought. I think maybe about any death in a TV show. Just because I was sitting there, I was like, he was just totally golden at that point.
Yeah.
And then something totally out of the blue that totally didn't deserve to kill him.
Yeah.
Just came from Sean. He didn't even get to see the guy. Like, yeah. He's just kind of like, he's alive, good, going to his wife, whatever, dead. And it's just like, there's nothing you can do about
it. And the same thing with Vince Vaughn's death. And I think, like, this is what we were talking about today, is, like, they handled the deaths really well. Like, they made a very good point with... I think what they were trying to say with that was that reality, like, comes for you no matter who you are. Like, that's stories don't always end with...
We can't talk about this.
With heroes...
Because I was going to go into more stuff.
Just leave it at morality for now. Like, just keep it within the context of morality. Mortality. I am the worst. I'm sorry.
Okay,
mortality. So... But the same thing happens with Vince Vaughn, where, you know, you believe for a second that he's going to will himself out of the desert somehow.
Because he just gets up. Nope.
Yeah, he's like...
His whole character is pretty much like that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he did. Just kind
of
like, yeah.
It would not be out of character.
He has survived up until this point doing what he's always done.
Yeah.
Like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then he dies in the desert.
And then just that...
He doesn't even know it.
You've been dead for 5 minutes.
Like, you stopped walking like an hour ago.
Like,
oh,
what? God damn it! And then also, this doesn't apply as much, but I think as far as knowing your own mortality, I think that's kind of where Ray's death comes in. Because he got to that point and he was putting up a good fight. It almost. Not quite as bad as Taylor Kitsch, but to a point where you're like,
he might survive this.
There's a slight chance he might survive this. And then at the very end, he knew, like, he just, like...
That's unrealistic.
He's like, I think I've killed enough of these fuckers.
He
had that calmness. He's like, I'm going to turn around. They're going to shoot.
What I took away from all three deaths is that reality comes for you. Like, you can't run from the real world. Like, it will get you.
And that's why I love the whole, don't worry, I'll be there late, I'll be right after you. Hand the phone to so-and-so.
I'm not going to make it. Yeah, like, that was actually, like, I actually laughed at that part.
I love it. A little laugh, but I'm like, no.
They really wanted you to believe that one of them was going to survive. Because Kevin and I were...
I want Vince Vaughn to survive.
I didn't care which one. I wanted one of them to.
And you're just like, what?
Because you're like, Ray's got that thing with Rachel McAdams going.
Vince Vaughn's got to meet his wife, and then they got to have kids.
But I think anybody out of the series, though, like, I wanted Vince Vaughn to survive. Just because I was just like, man, that guy got the worst. Like, just like, he was up on top, and then just like because of things he could not control,
just he just took him down. He got screwed out of it. And I mean, yeah, you could argue that in part. I mean, not entirely. I mean, but in part, the whole Mexicans catching up with him. You know, he did really unnecessarily piss off those Mexicans. You know, I mean, he could have kept those deals going, but because at the time he was really hot and heated, kind of turned them the wrong way, and they kept coming back for blood time and time again. And then because of that, and because of everything that's happened since then, it makes sense why he died.
Yeah. But, we need to stop talking about
your thing. Yeah. So we'll have a spoiler cast. I don't know if we'll stream that one. We might just record the audio for it.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
If we do it right now.
Which we should do it soon, because I'd like to wrap up as soon as possible, because I still have, I need to finish Karate Kid tonight, and then... Okay. And I need to prepare for...
Well, then we shouldn't do the spoiler cast tonight.
Well, how long is it going to take?
Well, I don't know.
At least 30 minutes.
Anyway, that's after podcast talk.
Well, still, we're almost done here, though.
Yeah, well, what's our time?
Well, we're coming up on an hour.
Are we?
Yeah. We're like an hour.
We're 55.
Yeah. And we still got time. We still have plenty of time.
Right.
What were you going to say?
So...
you were gonna tell me that I just... No, never mind.
Mortality.
Well, no, something to do with... Okay, mortality. So, the only question I really prepared for you guys, because that's one of my biggest fears, as going through life, I'm fine if I got cancer right now, I think I'd be okay with it, because in my mind, it's not true, I know, but I feel like I could fight cancer. I don't want cancer. I don't, I'm not...
Because we're young.
Yeah, it's because, I'm young and stupid, but, everyone, I feel like everyone kind of has that, idea in their mind, I can fight through anything, but what
I can escape that Ex Machina thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, exactly. My biggest fears are things that you physically, there's no, possibility for that chance. Yeah. The car comes and hits you, and there's nothing you could have done differently to avoid that. Mm-hmm. You get stabbed in the desert, and you're not getting out of that. The guy comes up behind you and shoots you, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's my biggest fear, is even if the fighting chance is so slim to none, cancer, fighting chance is so slim, even if you survive, you're going through chemo, and it's going to be hell, but there's still that fighting chance that makes you feel a little bit better about it. Yeah, you have a role in it, you have a level of control over it. What really gets me is the stuff that, you don't have control over. So what is that for you guys? Because that's mine. I'm scared of not having control over things. Because
you mean specifically for our mortality?
More mortality. And furthermore, what do you want to do? If you did have more control, what would you want to do with your life? Let's say you found out you were going to die tomorrow somehow. God came down and he was like, dude, you only have till tomorrow. What would you want to do?
I wouldn't tell anyone.
You wouldn't tell anyone?
Nope. Because most... listen. You got one...
Depends on how I die.
I know I'd ruin my last day on Earth if I thought too much of how to spend my last day on Earth. Because it's that's an impossible thing, So it's just kind of I'm just going to live my day. I'm just going to do whatever just is right. it's just there's nothing you can do at that point. Yeah. It's just tomorrow, you're dead. It's okay, well...
You know what's weird?
I won't even think about it.
I kind of feel like I'd kill myself.
Why?
What if that's so God comes down, tells you you're going to die. You're like, oh, well, I don't want God to kill me. I'll kill myself. And so you go through the entire day contemplating killing yourself. And then the point where you're supposed to die, you kill yourself to try to take that death away from God. And you're like, yes, God, I beat you, dude.
You died when I told you you were going to die.
You killed you. I told you were going to die. What I didn't tell you is that you were going to kill
it's
yourself.
It's like that whole time travel thing. It's like John Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's like it wouldn't have happened if this wouldn't have happened. But because that happened, it did,
Yeah.
If that makes sense in any way,
But for me, it comes down to control. So Kevin and I were talking about, I wouldn't actually kill myself because I'm too much of a coward to kill myself. I would never do that, but I would contemplate it. I contemplate it, but that's just because I'm such a control-oriented person. And We were talking about this last week, where, like, I believe a lot of humans are kind of, like, we're built in with this natural codex that kind of says, screw God, screw the universe, whatever you believe in, it doesn't matter. There's still that natural, like, whether you believe in a God or not, there's
Americans
still
that. Are, at least.
Yeah, a lot of, like, we're just kind of built in with, like that screw the establishment, we'll do our own thing. We were talking about this last week, and I said that the devil's a hero. He's a hero, dude. He's a hero.
Listen to the podcast.
I make a compelling point for the devil being a great narrative hero. Anyways.
Okay.
And it all comes around to, like, you know, I would, like, if I was told by God that, like, I was going to die in 24 hours, I'd want to die in 23 hours just to say, no, I have a final word on it. It's petty, but that's just kind of how I am. I don't know.
Why does that matter to you, though?
It does. Like, I want to have more power than the unit. Like, it's petty, and I don't know why I'm built in with this desire to do this. It's just how I am. Like, if someone says, you know, you're gonna die tomorrow in exactly this time, like, I'm okay with it. I'll accept it. But I want to have that last final, like, well, you were wrong about this. Ha ha.
You're such a woman.
I may have died tomorrow, but I died tomorrow 5 minutes before you said I would.
But see, like, here's the thing, though. I honestly don't think you would, just because Tamlin, I think you have that mindset with everything, but death is a different thing. And I just think, if you're actually down to that, it's like,
no,
because really
death is worse for me, because I, like, at that point, I feel like
it's
I'm getting cheated.
Ever do.
Yeah, I'm getting, if I'm going to die anyway, you're stealing my life from me. The least you can give me is a last laugh. Like, if there's one thing you can give me is that one final, screw you, I get to take myself. You don't. I'm like, that's the one last thing. If I don't get to live on Earth anymore, then at least I was the one to kill myself. Like, I didn't give that honor to anyone else. You know, that, like, that's that. I think it's worse with death than anything else, because other things I can rationalize and say, that's petty, dude. Just let it go. Like, it doesn't matter.
And you can't say death.
Yeah, death's not petty.
Doesn't matter, dude. It's only the last.
No, see, here's the thing, though. That doesn't matter, though, when death happens, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
it doesn't matter big picture, but, like, you know, when I do fly up, I can be like, you know what, whatever. Yeah, I win.
Or, you know, fly down.
Yeah. Or I kind of killed myself, so I get to be with my hero.
So, yeah, you get to be with Satan.
Is that one of the things you believe, that if you kill yourself, you go to hell automatically?
Well, it's,
I guess it's circumstantial.
It's, yeah, it really is circumstantial, because, I mean,
because, like, let's say you're being tortured and raped, like, every, like, you're a girl.
I don't think Ray in True Detective went to hell.
Okay. No, he did because of how he was, but,
okay,
like,
He didn't go to hell because of that.
He didn't
go to hell because he knowingly turned around to get shot.
Yeah, you know, I think it's all circumstantial. I think if you're a girl that's locked in a basement somewhere and some guy's been using you as, you know, your his plaything for the past year, and you see a razor on the ground and you're able to, you know, actually take your life so you can end that for yourself, I think you're fine. Like, you're doing yourself a favor. But if you just can't get over something stupid, like, you know, your dog died, I don't know what people get depressed about, don't quote me on that. But, you know, if you just can't, like, if you're just depressed and you want an easy way out, and I think it's cowardly. It depends on the circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, it depends on the circumstances. And honestly, we really don't know, you know? And there's nothing in the Bible that says, okay, so, in order, this is what happens. What happens? You die, okay? Okay. And then this happens. All they say is, that's a sin, I mean, if it's the last thing you do, I mean, by that standard, you know, you could make, like, a little white lie that really doesn't mean anything to someone, and then die suddenly.
You get
right?
struck by lightning. And you're
struck,
shoot!
Struck by lightning, shoot, that one little sin. You know, I mean, I think by that standard, it wouldn't make much sense. So again, we don't really know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's instant damnation. But, hooray, Velcoro, it probably was. The best case, he got purgatory. I mean,
I was going to say something, I don't remember what I was going
to
say.
You weren't necessarily all that great, but you weren't necessarily shit either, to quote in Bruges, his character from In Bruges, also called.
But, alright, going back, if you wrote a story from the perspective of the devil, like, just the events that transpire, he would be a hero. Like, not changing any of the events, just from the perspective, he'd be a hero. Like, take away the name, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever, take away the name, apply it to a child and his father, he's a hero. Because you think about it, like, there's this guy.
No.
He's all powerful, very controlling.
He's stretching.
He's very strict. You know, he has all these rules and stuff. And then you're like, wait, no, I don't agree to any of this. No. I don't want this. I want to be more powerful.
The devil
this.
Didn't be like, he didn't, like, run away from God because.
No, he was like,
you're so controlling. It
he was
like,
screw you, I can be better than this. Like, I can do
see,
more.
See, that's the problem there.
No,
though.
Whatever. Like,
it's not, I can be better than this because I want freedom. It's, I want the power. It's not, you know what I mean? He wasn't looking, it's not, it was something selfish.
Power hungry bastard that he thought he was better than everyone, including some
But see, no, like, you have to take it, alright, you have to take everything out of the grain of salt. No, you're looking at it wrong because you're looking at it from the perspective of the story that it's written in. I'm saying,
no,
but you have to write it from the perspective of the devil. He's not looking at himself like, oh, I'm so greedy. He's like, okay, this guy's controlling, like,
what he's saying is, if the story was told through the point of
view
of the devil,
through the perspective of the devil, like, he's not looking at himself like
he's the only audience member. Yeah, he's the hero.
But no, like, you can't, like, scrutinize it and say, like, no, he's evil or whatever. Like, that's the whole point. You have to take away that preconceived notion.
No, I'm not saying he's evil.
That's what you just said!
No, I'm saying, no, this is the thing. Listen, like, it's not, screw you, I want to be my own person. It's, I want to be you.
But that's what he would be saying. Like I'm take away the contextual, like, yeah, he does want to be you. What child doesn't want to be his father? What child doesn't want to branch out, be his own thing, but at the same time be his dad?
But he didn't want to be his own thing. He wanted to defy.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's going against it.
Go out of his way. I mean, okay, I understand what you're saying, but I'm on some...
Like, no, I'm playing devil's advocate right now because I'm saying something stupid like the devil's a hero. So you guys, like, I don't want an argument. I'm trying to
listen
convey...
To the last
I'm
podcast,
trying to
get
what
it. You're saying, though.
That's it.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to get, though, like, because I just think you're not thinking of the motives right.
No, I'm saying the motives don't matter. You're thinking
of
the motives. I'm thinking more in terms of generalizations. I don't care about, like, motives or anything.
But that's where...
No.
That's where it lies, whether you're a hero or a villain.
But motives are all, like, history's written by the victor. All right, take this universe where the, you know, the Bible's just written by God who won the story.
Too.
Right.
Sorry,
that was fun. So God wins this battle. He puts his kid in time out. And, you know, he writes the story of what transpired. He would write the story to make the devil look like he has this bad motive, like, where he was greedy, and, you know, he wants to enslave all of humanity or something stupid like that, and he just wants all of his power because he's petty. That's how the story would be written from God's perspective. But the devil's perspective, he would say God was evil, like, God was being restrictive, you know, he wouldn't let these people eat a fruit, and
yeah, no, I know what you're saying, I get that.
Yeah,
but
and
what
so I'm
saying,
like,
though,
the motives would seem different from the devil's perspective.
But then what you're saying is that it only makes sense if you're the devil.
Yes! I'm saying a story written from the devil's perspective!
No, see, when you say it's written, that means, like, people are reading it from his perspective. He'd still be the villain, though.
No, he wouldn't!
No.
He'd be the hero because he'd be the... Alright, so, like, from the devil's perspective...
The way he would write it.
Yeah, he sees God as this overpowering figure. And he sees, like, let's say you're in Genesis
Except
or whatever.
Except you as the audience know. Like, you know.
But you don't. I'm saying, like, take away yourself. You're reading this story for the first time. You have no idea what God... You have no, well, the rest of it doesn't matter. You're reading this story for the first time. That's what I'm... Like, that's the whole point of what I'm saying, is if you take away all of your preconceived notions of what you have, and you just read the story as the devil wrote it, you would see the devil as a hero. That's exactly what I'm saying. Take away everything you know about it. It's just a story about a kid and his dad.
Well, it wouldn't be true, though.
It wouldn't be true...
That's all I'm saying. Like, see, you're missing what I'm saying. I'm saying it
no. I got what you're saying. I'm just saying what you're saying is wrong.
How is what I'm saying wrong?
Because you're like what you're the basis of you saying that I'm missing what you're saying is you missing what I'm saying. Because
okay, we're ending this. I'm ending. I'm ending this. We're done.
Listen
to last week's podcast.
The devil's a hero.
You're wrong. But listen to last week's podcast. Okay. So, is there anything else you wanted to discuss?
Oh no, that's I don't
I don't remember.
I specifically only wrote down two notes for this week because last week was super note heavy, so I wanted this week to be more fluid.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't write down anything.
Not something we got to talk about. What? It's not really on the theme.
Oh yeah, no.
Hateful Eight trailer.
Oh yeah, that happened this week. That was definitely
that
a thing.
That was
such a good trailer.
Such a good trailer.
You know the best part of it?
What?
The very end, when they play that little tune, that's totally, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet
that's
a bit, like, a piece of
Ennio
Morricone's
Like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
That totally is. Like that little
yeah
bit.
How many times did you watch it?
3 times.
Same here.
I was a little...
It's so great, I mean...
I wasn't disappointed in the trailer or, like, my decision to watch it. I enjoyed the trailer and I enjoyed watching it. But I was a little disappointed in myself for watching it. Because I, like, the whole, like, up when I heard the trailer drop...
You put up a debate, you're just like, I'm watching it.
Well, yeah, no. The one that, when I heard the trailer drop, I was like, do I want to watch it? I want to watch, like, Quentin Tarantino would never betray me. Like, if there's one director in Hollywood that would never, you know, spoil a movie for himself, it's Quentin Tarantino. So it's like I trust him. Logic. Yeah. I don't think he's
aside
gonna.
Aside from, in my opinion, I think the trailer for Kill Bill Volume 2 shouldn't exist, just because it's one movie. They should just advertise like the beginning of Volume 1 and then not show Volume 2. But that's just only because there are two volumes. I mean, that's just a personal thing. Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, the trailers don't.
Funny story about that though. When Kevin told me about it, when I finally eventually got to watch it, I looked it up just online. And I clicked on the first thing that it had, and the thing I saw was not the trailer, and I just saw it and was like, that was weird. That didn't seem like it. Okay. Huh. And like 5 minutes later, I was like, there's no way that was the trailer. I'm looking for something different. I saw some weird like Civil War movie trailer. And it was just like, and it didn't give any title or anything. So it was just kind of like, I guess this could be it.
The
and
next like, film from Quentin Tarantino. It's just like a Civil War
reenactment. And it was just like this really like slow-mo like Civil War thing. And I'm like, I didn't know I was going to have so much Civil War.
Everything CG.
And I was expecting kind of like a dun-dun kind of trailer, you know? And I was like, this isn't... Okay. Well, okay. All right.
It's different. Quentin Tarantino's branching out.
And then the more I thought, I was like, there's no way. That wasn't the trailer. There was no way. Like, I didn't see any actor that I recognized.
That was not the trailer. It was not.
Yeah. Great trailer, though.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
You said there was something... I think there was something else that you said you wanted to talk about. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh. Yeah. Well, one, there was a trailer that came out for Westworld.
Oh, right. Trailer. Yeah.
Looks so good.
Yeah, I saw it. It does look good.
Yeah, like, you guys should see the original movie. Like, it's pretty much just a Western, but, it's like a Western masked over Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one written by Michael Crichton, right?
Yeah.
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 basically the same story as Jurassic Park.
It pretty much is. But then once I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this is so much better as a miniseries. Like, it just is, you know, and like, Anthony Hopkins is in it, and like...
You know what they should do with it?
Ed Harris.
They should make it an HBO series.
Okay.
Really gritty. Just eight episodes a season, you know? Yeah, nothing more than that.
That's what they should do.
That's what they should do.
Okay.
Kevin and I, like, lately our thing is... Like, it's not lately because we've been doing it a really long time. We just lately realized it. Every time we talk about a series getting rebooted or, like, a movie getting remade or something... Okay, you know what it should be?
An
HBO series where it's only, like, 8 episodes, you know? Like, it'd be really cool if it starts off like this and then, you know, season 2 could be like this. That's every single thing we do. Like, you know, it'd be really cool. All right, so Star Wars. But... It's an HBO series where it starts off with like blah blah blah, and then it ends with the Death Star, blah, blah, and then everyone dies. It's like Game of Thrones. Like we do that for like everything.
Anyways, it's gonna be awesome. Jonathan Nolan's directing. It's his first time directing anything.
Oh wow, cool.
So that's gonna be cool. Well, what I was gonna say, Kevin, I don't know if you know this. What? I told Alec this before the podcast. Did you know M. Night Shyamalan's coming out with a new movie?
Yes.
I told you he would know.
Why didn't we talk about this? It's coming out next month.
Well, I didn't know it was coming out that soon, but...
October. It's coming out in October.
It didn't look that good to me, so I haven't said much about it.
You saw the word M. Night Shyamalan, and you're like, oh, it doesn't look that good.
That's not actually... M. Night Shyamalan, I raised an eyebrow, I'm like, please look good, please. And then the trailer plays out, I'm like, not gonna lie, there's a slight chance it could be good.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is.
Except for the fact... Okay, like, the trailer's like just this, like, regular old-looking horror movie trailer... But it's supposed to be a horror comedy, and it doesn't look like a comedy at all. It says like it's
maybe
like,
that's a good thing. I wouldn't.
I have you seen the trailer?
It's
weird.
Yeah,
it's
weird. I stay away from trailers, and I don't care.
Yeah,
so
I don't see. I really want it to be good. I really do.
At this point, like M. Night Shyamalan has reached.
I've always wanted
a phase with me
to be good,
where I don't care if his movies are good anymore. I have no particular.
I want him back. There was too much good in the beginning for me to just forget about it.
He's not worth it anymore.
At this point, I'm like, okay, that's because I'm not a Fairweather fan. See, I wait patiently. And if it never comes, then I will wait forever.
So yeah, wait.
I think it might have something to do with
like that. That's why we like True Detective season
2. I think it might have to do with, with the fact that you guys both didn't have, at least to my knowledge, I could be wrong about this, you both didn't have Sixth Sense spoiled for you before you watched it.
No, wrong. It was spoiled for me.
Oh.
He didn't.
I didn't. I saw it when I was young, and I hadn't even seen a movie with a twist until that point.
He didn't believe the plot could go like this.
Yeah, I knew it. Like, when I watched Sixth Sense, like, I thought it was good, and I've only watched it once, so maybe I need to watch it again. But I, like,
and you had it spoiled for you?
I thought it, what?
Did you have it spoiled for you?
Oh, yeah, I knew exactly what was going to happen. Like, it was super spoiled for me.
Yeah, that sucks.
Super spoiled. And so I watched it, and I was like, yeah, you know, it's good, whatever. I wasn't blown away by it at all. I was... it was okay.
I love that movie. It's just really well shot too. Like, he's just such a good director in that movie. Like, you're just like, dude, a really good director is making this movie.
Someone who knows what they're doing is making this movie, you know? And same thing with Unbreakable.
He could have just been paired with a good cinematographer though. Like, a good cinematographer can make a bad director look good.
He has a good, like, he has a trademark though. Like, he had a trademark style back in the day. It's not just a cinematographer. It was like, that was M. Night Shyamalan, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he writes all this stuff, too. Like, he wrote that, too.
Yeah, he wrote that, and he's written all these things since, and you're like, dude, what went wrong?
He forgot how to make good movies, dude.
Oh, no.
He had kids. No, you know what ruined it? Is kids. I have decided, I don't know if I've told you, I don't want kids.
Really?
At least not until after I'm 40. I have no desire to have kids. It ruined... Look at every creative person
ever. When
they're
10, you're gonna die.
If kids don't end your creative career, they at least put a dent in it. Like, I don't want to screw myself early.
Not necessarily. It's kind of hit and miss depending on who it is. Christopher Nolan, in his early years, had kids and his movies have only gotten better.
Mm. Yeah.
Also... Robert Rodriguez, in the time he's made movies from El Mariachi all the way up until now, he has had kids in that time, and he has still dished out movies like Planet Terror, Machete, and some of his better movies. I mean, yes, Sharkboy and Lava Girl, but...
He also has dished out some of his worst movies.
He has. But every other bad movie, he comes up, oh, no, oh, damn it, that was a good movie, too. Like, you know, like, so, like, he keeps it balanced. So it wasn't like he's gone bad and stayed bad, you know, so...
You could argue that there's a slight dent there, even though it didn't ruin his career. You could argue that there is a dent. That's what I'm saying.
I'd say it changed his career, not made a dent.
Yeah,
because he made kids movies, you know, because of his kids. You know, I could get that. Like, he's just kind of like, well, I make these super gory, you know, with Rose McGowan movies.
Yeah,
my kids can't see, but my kids are gonna be like, what do you do? It's like, oh, I make movies. It's like, I want to see your movie. It's like, you can't see my movie.
You definitely can't.
It's like, hey, you know. Here, wait a couple years, I'll make a movie just for you. You know, like, so they get it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, exactly.
You'll make a movie.
But I think it definitely slows people down. I have no great desire of being a father. Like, I was having this conversation not too long. It actually ties into mortality kind of well. Because me and my coworker, back when I worked at the sandwich shop, we were talking about what the worst thing that could happen to you. And my answer was brain cancer. Because that's like the ultimate, you don't have any control over brain cancer. You get brain cancer and it's like in the wrong spot of your brain. You slowly disintegrate until you die. Like, that's the worst thing to me. And so I was like, that's the worst. Like, to me, you can't get any worse than that. And he was like, for me, not being able to have kids. And I was like, what?
No, there's lots of people that.
What the hell's wrong with you? Screw the kids. Those guys are little turds.
But that's not the worst thing ever. You can adopt kids.
You can't adopt
a new brain, you know?
Exactly.
No, but for some people, it is, though. Like, for some people, it's like, that's literally all I want.
So you want to be, like, that's what you want your life to be defined by is reproduction?
Well, get kids though.
Like, see, here's the thing though. Like, you're looking at it from your perspective.
Go out and buy yourself a kid.
Bing.
Oh, no.
So you have a problem with me only looking at things through my perspective?
No, you're right for your perspective. But like, there's like, okay, so I can't think of a good example. But like, you know what I mean? Where like, for you, yeah, totally. You're not gonna be defined by a kid, you know? But somebody literally in their mind is just like, no, that's literally all I want. And like, for them, it makes sense, you know? Because that's what they want. Like, you want to draw, right?
People, I don't want to draw. Basically, do each his own.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't... You draw every single day. I would never draw every single day. Like,
You're a fucking maniac.
I sit there and look, like, what? Are you stupid? Why do you draw every single day? Like, you know, like, you do it every single day.
You're stupid or something?
It's kind of like with Kevin, like, with his whole, like, agenda. Movies. It's like, okay. For Kevin, it really makes sense. It's like, dude, but I got to watch these movies. It's like, Kevin, you can just wait. And it's like, no, I do. Like, just, it's important to him, you know?
I'll admit you're right. Yeah. Devil's hero.
And... I'd say that's not.
I want a shirt that just says the devil's a hero, or and not he, it's uncommon. Like a picture of like stereotypical Satan wearing like shades, like aviators.
He's next to the booty scientist.
Hero Satan could be a character in Booty Scientist.
Dude, Hero Satan.
Because all right, so like the whole movie
he opens on a guitar
with Booty Satan. All right, so it's actually a trilogy. The Booty Satan. Did I just say that? The first movie is about
sold his soul to me so I could play this guitar.
The first movie is about Satan being a hero.
To know Brother Art, that
the first movie is about Satan being a hero. Then the second movie is him. He wants a wife. So he goes to the booty scientist.
He must have the same thing.
He goes to the booty scientist to create his perfect waff.
Oh, yeah. Dude, why are we not? Let's write this.
Let's write this.
We gotta write the script. Dude, it's the new Bigfoot confirmed.
I always wanted a waff.
Yes.
Oh, God.
What time are we at?
I have way too many suggestions. We're
about ready.
Really trim these down.
Yeah, we're at a point where, Kevin, if you wanted to fire off your movie suggestions, we could go.
Fuck, I have so many.
Okay, wait, there was something I wanted to say.
I can lose that one.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't say everything I wanted to say.
We got a lot of True Detective talk.
We do have a lot of True Detective talk, but I don't think what I wanted to say had to do with True Detective.
Yeah, cut that.
But yeah, death is the thing that me and my dad talk about probably the most. It's just kind of like, it's such an interesting thing. There's so much variation in it, and it's like, you know, it's like at one side it's like this thing that nobody wants, but it's also like the reward for a long life. You know, it's just kind
of
like
what's weird to me is like we're kind of wired to be afraid of it, and what's weird is like we're as Americans we're more afraid of death than a lot of Europeans are. Like a lot of European countries are more like actualized than we are. They're like, yeah, death's whatever. But like as Americans, we kind of like obsess about it. Like we can't get over it. Like it's a big deal over here still.
Because people are so comfortable.
Yeah, and
dude, this is why I like Fight Club so much. It's like this is like one of the biggest themes in Fight Club. Just kind of like you just got to know you're gonna die. Like if you're gonna live happier and be a better person, if you know, you're not gonna live. You know, like.
Yeah.
And, like, you just, with that in mind, you're just kind of like, well, yeah, like, I need to not be a faggot, you know? About things, you can't be a loser about things. You gotta, like, you know, actually live.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're gonna
die. Gotta draw every day, dude.
And it's not like, do YOLO. It's not like that. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, don't be an idiot about it. Don't waste things.
Don't be a fucking idiot.
Yeah, don't waste time. And, like, I get kind of, like, not preachy about things like that. Because, like, I have kind of weird views about what life is about. Because, like, I really, like, one of my least favorite things in the world, like, if you want to set me off, like, legitimately, is be someone I care about and say the words YOLO. Like, if I don't care about you, then whatever, I don't care about what you say. But if I care about you, and if I'm invested in your future, and you say something stupid like, you know, life's about having fun, let's go party and get high and YOLO or whatever. Like, that legit, like, for some reason, it irks me. Like, there's something deep down inside of me that, like, it's activated that wants to punch that person. Like, life's about having fun and making, like, happy things.
But see, that's because we're surrounded by young people, because we're young people, and we...
What?
For the most part... We don't really, we haven't come to terms with our mortality. You know, we haven't, we even though we know we're going to die, we kind of still feel like we're invincible. It's kind of like how you said, I'm going to beat cancer. You know, it's just kind of like, you can't think of it yet because we're not aching yet. We're not
in the process. You don't feel death creeping up at you. You don't feel it yet. But like when people are so invested in their in the whole like I think there's an escape there's a sense of escapism to it. Like so many people like they're so afraid of it that instead of like facing it head on, they'd rather just get high all the time and not think about it and like just avoid the answer. And I don't know if
we're talking about anyone specific here.
I know I don't think I am, but I am.
Is it me?
Sam saying this is actually a intervention.
Oh man.
Ding
for Kevin. He's been doing too many drugs.
Yep.
Sorry, Kevin. Kevin, you've been making too much meth.
Yep.
I have been a lot lately.
And you've been smoking it like a cigarette.
That is true.
Like a cigarette?
That's an Arrested Development joke. For some reason, anytime they bring up weed and somebody's smoking it, they always have to say, and smoked it like a cigarette. Like every single person.
Because you could eat it.
Yeah, but they always like specify like a cigarette though. Yeah. It's like, I smoked it like a cigarette. It's like, he smoked it like a cigarette. I'm just like, I don't know why they do that, but
it's just there's this weird sense of escapism. So like anytime I hear the words life is about having fun, I always like No, it's not about having fun. Life is about pain and misery and death and survival. Life has nothing to do with having fun. Do you know any species on this planet that has fun besides human beings? No, because we're the only species that is smart enough to identify with our own mortality and start, you know, trying to escape from it. We're the only species that looks in a mirror and says, oh my God, that's us. We're the only species on the planet that does, that's not true, there's others, but whatever. We're the only species that recognizes our own mortality, and because of that, because we're too afraid to deal with that, we escape from it, and that escapism is called having fun. We distract ourselves from reality to have fun. And we forget, like, life has nothing to do with fun. Life is survival. Life is reproduction and moving forward. Life is about evolution. Life is about becoming better as a species.
Not doing stupid shit.
Yeah, not doing stupid stuff. Sure, fun, like, you can distract yourself every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with it. But you shouldn't your life should not be modeled around having fun. That's the dumbest thing. You are wasting your life and you don't even realize it. You've been lied to. And you've been told that that's what life is about, and it's not. You're wasting it, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And that's what pisses me. Like, that pisses me off so much. Because there's so many people around us that, like, the reason it pisses me off is because there's so many people around us that do it. Mm-hmm. That you know, like, YOLO, hashtag.
They're young, though. They don't get it. Like, they will get it eventually.
Which is weird, because we're the same age as them.
Here's the thing, though. Like,
I hate those young people. Those
young people, they're so dumb. It comes
to probably my favorite part about True Detective Season 2, is the conversation that Vince Vaughn has with that kid, with the dad that died. His whole conversation where he's like, you got these breaks in your life, you know? Where they're, like, huge events where literally... there's the event, what happened before that event, and what happened after. Yeah. And he's like, you get about three in your life, and you will always remember them. You know, like, we haven't gotten to those points where it's like, wow, that's a break. Like, seriously, like,
we have not. My life is different after
this thing.
Yeah, we haven't reached a breaking moment.
My life before it, and my life after it. My life before my dad died, my life after my... You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. Yeah. My life before I got divorced, after I got divorced. Or before I got married, after I got married. You know, things like that. We haven't really... we've probably had things, little things, but not breaks.
No, yeah, not breaks.
Like he says, like, folds in your life, you know?
I love, because
we're just too young. Like, you know, I've been to, like, 5 funerals. None of them, like, well, probably my biggest one was my grandpa's, but, like, again, that's a grandparent, you know, like...
Yeah, a grandparent doesn't...
You realize when you're younger that they're going to die sooner, because they're, you know, old.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, like... Yeah, we just haven't experienced those breaks yet. We haven't gotten to our careers or anything, you know?
Yeah.
That's why we're surrounded by idiots.
We haven't truly lost anything yet.
Yeah. But what makes us different? Like, I guess the real question is that, like, if anyone was watching this, the question that they would be asking is, like, why are you idiots any different? Like, why? Well, what makes... Is it just because you're pointing it out?
Because,
like,
we've accepted, maybe, that will happen. Yeah. And that there's more to things.
We're just better than them.
Yep.
That's it.
Well, I like to think that I look at things, no matter what, I always look at things from all sides. Like, whatever I look at, you know, it can't...
Except for when the devil's a hero!
No, see, because I still don't except get... Never mind. Drive. Anyways,
You try to look at things from all sides, except for when it doesn't fit you.
No, here's the thing. No, what I mean, though, is, like, nothing, literally nothing... is black and white.
Is worse than Drive.
Except for It's a Wonderful Life. And...
No.
Night of the Living Dead.
There's always Citizen Kane.
Oh, Citizen Kane.
Clerks was black and white.
Clerks is black and white.
Clerks is black and white.
12 Years a Slave is black and white.
No, it's not.
It's black and white, dude.
No, it's not.
There's black people and white people.
Oh, dude, Django.
Dude, Django's black and white.
Django's black. Well, fuck, every movie's fucking black and white.
What I mean, though, is, like, there is always...
Barry Lyndon or except something, for
Breakfast
know.
At Tiffany's.
This is literally the thing that gets... That
just people, white.
Just white. Even Asians are white.
Okay? This is literally the thing that people get wrong the most, and is what makes humans selfish, is not seeing gray areas at all. It's like, I don't know, like, you sit there, you get pulled over by... Or no, you get a ticket because you were parked in the wrong spot or whatever. Like, just, oh, I'm so mad I got a ticket. Screw this guy. You know? And then, at that point, you're like, I'm gonna say something mean to the dude that just gave me a ticket. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's normal. Like, that's just... you'd probably hear somebody telling that story. You wouldn't be like, oh, what? You know?
Because yeah. how dare you?
But when you look at it, it's like, okay, this guy that gives you a ticket, it's literally his job.
Yeah.
Every person he does this to, they're going to be like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have that. Nobody gets a ticket. It's just like, thank you.
Thank you.
I've only ever gotten one ticket, and that was almost my... I didn't say thank you, but I was speeding, and I knew I was speeding. But I didn't realize, like, all right, so what happened? I was driving down Lyons. It's a really bumpy street in Long Beach, mm-hmm. If anyone actually knows what that is. Super fun road to drive down. Yeah. Speed limit's 35. I was going 60. Way over the speed limit.
Bum, ba-dum, bum.
Yeah. Because I had just gotten my license, and I was like, oh, I want to, I had to go that way, and was like, oh, dude, I'll drive down the bumpy road. I'll go as fast as I can. It's going to be so much fun. So I'm driving down, and I think everything's great.
There's no cops around.
Yeah. I make it, and, like, I think everything's fine. I get to the light, and then behind me I see a motorcycle cop. And I'm like, I didn't see him while I was driving down the street. He probably didn't see me, right? Like, he's fine. And then I make my turn. As I'm making the turn, it's just... And I was like, ah, oh, dang it. And, like, so he walked up, and I was like, I was speeding. And he was like, yes, you were, son. And I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Where's the weed?
And so I just started making, like, conversation. Like, I just started treating him like a human being.
Yeah. And that's what people get wrong. It's like, they don't look and see things as, like,
human beings.
There's a person across from you that is literally like you. You know, not like you, but you know what I mean? Like, they have your same perspective for yourself, but for them.
Well, what I always think about, something really similar to that. Like, I talked to Evan about this a while ago, and it flew way over his head. But, like, everyone lives in their own, like, secluded bubbles.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, they're all in their little, like, globes where, like, you know, they can only see what's in there.
Most people choose not to realize that everybody else has a
bubble. Yeah, like, when you
people who talk during movies. Like, in theaters, I mean. Like, like... Oh my god, this girl, oh my, you missed it.
Dude,
like
a wire. Dude, okay, did you hear Lynette? Did you hear what she said about me?
Lynette? That was racist.
How is that racist? The only Lynette I have ever known was white.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, she was!
I think she was secretly.
Anyway, what's your movie?
Okay, I had like freaking like 9 originally because I found so many good ones.
Surprise! I've also made it all my movies from now on are gonna be weird movies because you guys your movies are always great.
I'm gonna think more about my movies. Yeah,
okay, you should change your set because all mine are weird comedies.
Well, no, but like so far, and like I'm not like this isn't a criticism, but so far, it's just like an observation. Even like I'm guilty of this too. A lot of our movies are movies that we've all liked, and think that the rest of us will like. And like that's cool, and like that's great, and like
I usually suggest. One thing that you guys haven't seen that I've seen, and then the other two are ones that none of us have seen, but you guys always pick the one that I want you guys to see.
And like, again, that's not bad, but I think our best conversation comes from when we see a movie that we're not all on board for. Like, I was thinking about it the other day.
Zardoz, I was like, I'm going to start suggesting, I'm going to think about it more.
Favorite podcasts, our Flame Reach podcast, was when we were all bagging on, Captain Harlock.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of my favorite conversations that we ever had. We were all just like, okay, dude, Captain Harlock was the worst.
Dude, like, fuck that
it was
movie,
so boring,
man.
But it wasn't that bad. No, it was that bad, Noah. It was so bad.
I mean, we were giving it a little more shit than it deserved, but not
that's because it was funny.
Because it was funny to give it a little extra shit.
Yeah, you know? So, like, I think our best conversation comes from movies that we're not like all on board for.
You take that to an extreme.
I'm agreeing. Yeah,
because it's more entertaining when I'm just like, it is literally the worst thing that happened to mankind. You know? When you're more passionate. Like,
that movie is worse than Hitler.
If you came up and was like, what's really the worst movie you've seen? I probably wouldn't say Drive.
Okay, Repo is
terrible.
Repo
the Genetic Opera sucks dick.
We should have Rachel on. Like, alright, so here's... I have an idea. So we all hype it up like we love Repo. Like, we think it's great. Like, Rachel, we need you on to talk about Repo. Like, seriously. We can't wait to talk to you about it.
We're calling it the Repo Cast.
And then like, all we do, the entire podcast... All right, Rachel, we brought you on to tell you how much Repo sucks nuts. That movie's garbage.
Has she seen it?
Yeah, she likes it.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
The funny thing... I don't know if I've told you about this. Or
See it so you can back us up.
You talk to anyone that likes Repo, right?
They just can't tell you why.
They will not explain to you what they like about it. Like, why do you like Repo?
Man, I hate that.
Oh, you know, Repo. But no, why do you like it?
A worse Donnie Darko.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Even though I can mostly explain why I like Donnie Darko.
Mad World's such a good song.
Mad World's a great song.
It's like the people that like Donnie Darko, that really like it too much, and the people that hate it too much.
I'm okay with Donnie Darko.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, Repo is basically similar concept, but exaggerated. Like, everyone's like, even briefly, I don't know, Alec, if you remember this, but when we talked to Tamlin about it, and we mentioned that we had seen it actually recently, and we're like, oh, Tamlin, I don't know if we ever told you, but we did end up seeing Repo. And then he's like, it's like, oh yeah, the best part was, and then at the same time you were saying, the weirdest part was, and you said the exact same thing, and you were like, I was gonna say Pavi, the guy with the face and the pulled back face. He's like, and Tamlin's like, I was gonna say that's the best character, and you're sitting there like, that was the weirdest part.
After a second watch, I think Pavi might be the best part of the movie.
Okay.
Pavi and the chorus that sings Repo every time.
Repo man.
Those are the only two redeeming factors of the movie. Is Pavi, who's basically a skinny biznatchier leather face.
Yeah.
And the chorus that sings every time Repo Man shows up.
We were talking about why we didn't like it, and we're like, Tamlin, it didn't rhyme.
Don't rhyme.
There wasn't a flow. There wasn't.
It's not even that they don't rhyme. There's no structure to them. They don't seem like they were thought out when they were written. Like, there's no build up.
Yeah,
there's,
you told me this.
Yeah. I probably ranted about it on the podcast.
And
before.
I've heard opera. I've heard good opera.
It was when we came back to get Prince of Darkness and all that.
And to me, it's even okay for a song to just kind of go from thing to thing.
All right, so
not sure. And Les Miserables. You know, does that pretty well. I mean, personally, it's not my thing. It's not the best. It's not the utmost musical. But I think Repo still could have done it the way they wanted to do it, but better. And they didn't. So, my three movies are a movie that I have seen that you guys need to see now.
Okay.
Okay? And it's The Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah. I have heard very, very good things.
Yeah, I'm tired of people not seeing it because there's even a inside joke that you're like, oh. Dude, that's like one of our inside jokes before it happened kind of thing. I don't want to say what it is. It's something similar to that. It's to that degree of, it's one of those kind of things, huh? And it's towards the end, so it just happened. I laughed out loud. I'm like, oh my god, they actually did it. That's our thing. And I was joking about it happening and it actually happened. Another one I've seen, and I know I keep bringing this up, but I keep getting in the mood to watch it again. Samside's actually seen it, but it'd be a really fun talk just because there's a lot to talk about, like Zardoz. John dies at the end. And I've been
meaning to see that.
And I saw it, and I really liked it the first time, and I really want to rewatch it. And I haven't planned to, and so it'd be a good, this is convenient, because now I get a chance to rewatch it, because I know I'll like it more the second time.
I just
thought
of a great podcast story that I could have told at the beginning.
Was it the Batman one?
No. It was super short. So I was on Reddit the other day on the Harmontown subreddit, and these guys were talking about making. It doesn't matter what subreddit we were on, because they were just talking about starting a movie club.
He was jacking off.
No, the post was just talking about starting a movie club, and they were like, "Oh yeah, like I really like 80s movies, and it seems like Dan Harmon really likes the 70s and 80s movies. Like that's when he grew up, so it's like that's a lot of his movies, and I like that those movies too. So you guys want to start a movie club?" And like no one really responded to it. Everyone was like, "Yeah, it sounds like a good idea," but no one like did anything to start it. And I was like, "All right, since no one else is saying this, how about we do it?" And our first movie is Big Trouble in Little China. And the guy responded to me like 2 days later. He was like, "Yeah, I loved it. Blah blah blah. It was so good. Blah 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 blah. Let's keep this going. Have you ever seen the Evil Dead movies?" And I was like, "Please." Please keep your stupid comments in your pocket.
That's
how I would have done. But I totally forgot about that.
You know what? You should have saved that till the very end, and that should have been the last word. Yeah. Telling a story to end it.
Just edit it.
No, I have an ending for the reason I've kept this on is because I have an ending for this.
This is Spinal Tap is the third and last movie, a movie none of us have seen.
Yeah,
and we need to see it.
That's another one of those movies where Rachel was like, I don't want to see it.
I want to see that movie.
Okay,
let's just watch it to spite Rachel.
That makes it more.
Spite Rachel.
Spite Rachel.
This is Spinal Tap.
This movie is Spinal next Tap. Week.
I suggested it. Why are you asking for my vote?
Smile, right, so we're doing Kevin. Are you okay with
this? I want all three of these.
I saw the Blade Runner thing up there. I was like, why does he have a Blade Runner picture on there? I mean, this could be our outro.
They used to call me the end this movie early, man. But then again, that wasn't true.
All right, thank you guys all for listening to the Comics in Your Pocket podcast. Sorry I ranted a little bit.
What was your ending?
A philosophical... A philosophical episode.
Yeah.
I
picked a heavy...
Very deep.
I picked a heavy...
It's got...
I swear layers. We'll be funny next time.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, we had to go a week without Sam Slade, so our balance was kind of thrown off. You know, we have to purge a little bit.
The funny was gone?
Not the funny was gone, but it's a different, like, Kevin and my funny is a different funny. We had conversations that, like, honestly, I thought last podcast was really, like, we had a funny podcast. I thought it was entertaining.
Credits are just rolling.
But you know, it's a different dynamic than you're here.
So just like you and me without Alec was different,
So I think, you know, it doesn't take long. It's not that we, like, it's a hard thing to get back in our groove, but I think, you know, we get back
to the groove.
Yeah. Alright, so see you guys all next week.
For Brand Flakes!
Brand Flakes
of the episode.
Yep.